Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, mental conditions, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Pika, chew! I'm Adam.
Oh, look at this lovely romantic table spread. I think I'll start with the candles. I'm Sean.
You eat 16 pounds? What do you get? You're all stopped up, and then comes your death. I'm Andy.
Boy, am I starving for your attention. I'm Rick, and welcome to Acid Pop. Welcome, boys and girls. Today, we are going to talk about appetite.
Well, good, I'm hungry.
Appetite for destruction.
I'm hungry for information.
Let's get into some etymology. The word appetite comes from the old French word appetit, from Latin appetitus, which means desire for, and broken down even further, if you take ad, that means to, and pater, which is, you know, the later word, obviously, that means seek, so to seek.
A petit déjeuner.
Well, that makes sense. I like appetite. It's like, are you hungry? A little. Mon petit.
But today our appetite is going to be focused on food.
My destruction.
My pica.
Okay, let's go into some phobias.
People are afraid of eating? That's terrible.
Well, what is cybophobia?
Cybo.
Fear of robots that attack Doctor Who.
Damn it, that's what I was going to do.
Fear of eating balloons.
I get it.
Oh, sure, laugh, but I'll get it one day.
Fear of cyborgs from the future.
Well, it's really quite simple. It's just fear of food.
Fear of food?
Yes.
Hey, you want to get a pizza?
How do you get by with that?
It's more focused on the freshness of food. So it's about expiration dates and overly well-done steaks and stuff like that, meaning that you want your steak to be more well-done because you're afraid of the germs. Throwing out leftovers super early. And it can be dangerous when you severely restrict your diet and will avoid eating rather than eat anything deemed questionable. So people would rather starve themselves than take a chance with something that's 10 days away from its expiration date.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know there was a term for that, but I know several people like that, that once it gets like within 5 days of the arbitrarily assigned expiration date on food, they won't touch it.
Okay, so this one I don't think is going to be very hard. What is hydrophobia?
Fear of seven-headed lizards.
Damn it. He took my fear of organizations that make Captain America sad.
Hail Hydra!
Another Hydra joke. I mean, it's fear of water. Let's not be
How did you know?
Excellent work, gentlemen. Especially with the first answers.
Damn it.
It's an irrational fear of water. And when, you know, you get rabies, it used to be a term used for it. Yeah. And it's what happens when you get rabies.
Mm-hmm.
How about lacanophobia? Oh, no, lacanophobia.
Yeah, gesture to me. I have nothing for this one. You took all my good jokes.
Well, it's a fear of werewolves.
Damn it, that was my joke.
Damn it, that's a pretty good one.
Fear of being eaten by dogs.
Fear of lacquer.
Did you stain this to this deck?
Is this artificial coloring?
That's not natural wood tones.
I gotta get out of here.
Unwarranted or an irrational fear of vegetables.
Oh, really?
What? Yes.
Oh, I have that.
You know, I forgot we were doing food and not just water.
And we have some more etymology here. The word originates from Greek lakno, meaning vegetables.
Huh. I've never heard lakno.
Yeah, me either.
I've got it.
That's true. If anyone here has it, it's probably Andy.
I don't know. Rick could give you a run for your money.
Yeah, I don't like any vegetables at all. So there
Neither
you go.
Does Andy.
What is salamangerophobia?
Well, he was born on a Monday.
Salamangerophobia, born on a Monday, married on Tuesday.
Fear of gray skin.
Yeah, these are weird, like, root words.
Salamangerophobia is a fear of a garish king named Solomon.
Fear of weird, obscure Batman villains.
Okay, well, it is, in fact, the fear of eating alone.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Solemn. Okay.
I gotcha.
I'm sure some of you have probably heard of this one, but what is misophonia?
Oh, I know this one. Mushrooms, isn't it? Fear of mushrooms?
Well, that'd be myco.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This one has a little bit of a twist to it.
Hmm. Intriguing.
Fear of improperly saying the word mice.
Fear of twisting lemons.
Fear of miserly people like Uncle Scrooge.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Scrooge might have misophonia, in fact, because it is a hatred of sound. But there were some studies shown that around 80% of the sounds related to the mouth. So eating, slurping, chewing, and stuff like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I kind of have that.
That is a pretty gross area.
It really, like, when I was a kid, if I was, like, playing a video game and my dad wanted me to do something, he's like, hey, can you go, you know, mow the lawn? I'm like, yeah, just let me get to a save point and I'll go do it. He would go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, come back in, sit right behind me and eat it. And he could only get about two bites into it before he just said,
let me just eat this watermelon, like,
oh,
over your shoulder.
God, I'm going now.
Exquisite mouthfeel.
Man, that's some great fathering tips right there, actually.
Oh, yeah, God, it was the
creative.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't leave a bruise.
Well, it does in your mind.
The courts will never convict him.
Okay, we have one more. What is dipnophobia?
Fear of eating diapers. Which I have, for sure.
Fear of being hypnotized twice.
That's good. That's creative.
I liked it.
The fear of double dipping.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, it is the fear of dining or dinner conversations.
Ah.
A branch. So it's the opposite of the other one.
Luckily, with Instagram, we don't have to have your conversation at all.
Yeah. No. Every meal is a meal alone.
Dipno.
That's from Greek, and it means dining or dinner.
Huh.
Okay, so we got some quiz.
Some more quiz.
What is polyphagia and polydipsia?
Polyphagia sounds like you're eating a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like you're eating many, many things.
Those sound like the same thing. Are they the same thing? You're eating lots of stuff?
They're very related, but they're different.
Hmm.
Polydipsia is when you eat things coated in other things, like chocolate-covered bananas.
Like, it almost sounds like it has a similar root as the dinner conversation.
Polyphagia means excessive hunger and abnormally large intake of solids by mouth. It can be caused by diabetes, Klein-Levin syndrome, that's a malfunction in the hypothalamus, and the genetic disorders Prader-Willi syndrome and Bardet-Biedl syndrome. Knocking out vagal nerve receptors has been shown to cause hyperphagia.
Is it vagal? I thought it was vagal. Vagus. The vagus nerve. Maybe it's the vagus nerve? The vagus nerve is interesting because it's a nerve that, like, runs through your neck, and if you stimulate it, it'll actually cause you to vomit.
Okay, so polydipsia is just excessive thirst or excess drinking.
It's the opposite of hydrophobia.
The word derives from the Greek polydipsios, which means very thirsty.
I get it.
It can also be seen in animals sometimes, in birds. Okay, so you guys, I already heard one of you guys mention this, so I think you all know what pica is.
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't.
Guess then.
You don't?
No, I don't. It's a type of fish?
I think it is, but why don't you tell us what it is?
As far as I understand, it's an abnormal hunger for things like dirt or paper or things like that, usually caused by an iron deficiency in most cases.
It's a compulsion to eat things that aren't food.
Huh.
Yeah, hair, paper, drywall, paint, metal, stones, or soil, glass, or feces, and chalk.
It's a condition that turns into a very effective sideshow.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. Some actual examples of that.
So that whole thing is just one short word, pica?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
it's a weird term.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be careful, Sean, because pica is most commonly seen in pregnant women, small children, and those with disabilities such as autism.
Well, and those with writing degrees. I don't know if that's a disorder. Because kids just, when they encounter something, they just run it through all of their five senses. They're saying, I can see it, I can smell it, I can touch it, I can eat it.
No!
How much poop does a human being have in their intestines at any given time?
By weight or by...
Yes, length? By weight.
Say 37 feet.
No, by weight.
2.5 pounds.
Oh, no. That's
all right, college boy.
I've pooped bigger poops than that and still had leftovers to spare.
Oh, I weigh them afterwards. I know.
I'm going to say 15 pounds.
Ooh, Jesus.
Sean's full of shit.
Well, yeah, but in your entire intestines, yeah. I don't think I eat 15 pounds worth of food in between bathroom visits, though. I'm going to go 10.
So Sean and Adam are right. It's between 5 and 20 pounds.
Wow.
What?
Well, diet has a lot to do with it. People eating highly processed, greasy food like I like to eat tend to have more.
Yeah, and if you eat a lot of poop, you get it coming and going.
People visiting all the buffets that Reno has to offer.
Just shovel it on there. I don't care. What is it?
That raises an interesting philosophical question, though, because at some point in your intestines, it stops being food and starts being poop. So I wonder where that cutoff is.
Well, people with pica, it never makes that transition.
It's true.
I believe the second it exits your stomach and goes into your intestine, it's poop.
Oh, that's pretty fast. Yeah.
I would say not until the large intestine, because that's when it starts like drawing the water out.
Well, to each their own.
And not that I'm going to eat it.
Okay, what is the difference between hunger and appetite?
I feel like hunger is like a chemical feeling, like your body saying, I want nutrients, and appetite is just like, I could eat something right now.
I like that. I think appetite is more psychological, about like what your preference is or something.
Yeah, and plus the appetite games aren't nearly as harsh.
Which would you prefer?
You guys are all right. That's a great answer.
You're an all right group of guys. Yeah. I tell you.
You guys are all
even
right.
Andy's Hunger Games joke is right.
So hunger is a physiological need to eat food to refuel the body, while appetite is more based off of craving.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I sort of feel like I have to question myself every time I'm hungry because, like, well, I mean, I like to try and watch my weight and not put on weight. So when I'm hungry, I'm like, am I actually hungry or do I just want to eat? And then since I'm diabetic, if my blood sugar drops, then I definitely want to eat. So then it's like, you know, is it nutrients? Is it diabetes or is it just a want to eat? So I have like a quiz every time I'm hungry.
That's a horrible game show.
Yeah, it's not very much fun.
Okay, here we go. This is going to be some fill in the blank and some true and false combined.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to blow your minds. In 1979, Andreas Mihalevich, who may have been the person to survive the longest without water, was accidentally left in his holding cell for how many days?
Ooh, water's a toughie.
Yeah.
Let me add this. However, he allegedly survived by licking condensation off the prison walls.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say it's a little different when you're outside and, you know, the sun is baking you and you're sweating versus just like, and you're physically active versus just sitting in a room.
I'm going to say 2 weeks.
It's the rule of threes, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So I'm going to say eight days.
I will go crazy and say 16 days. Let's double Sean's record.
4 hours.
Oh, God, I'm so thirsty.
16 days is the closest. It was 18 days.
Wow.
Look at them prison walls.
In 1920, Terence McSweeney's hunger strike, which was the longest in recorded history, lasted how many days?
I think they did a movie about this.
Well, I know 3 weeks is, for a hunger strike, not too hard to pull off. So it's definitely got to be longer than that.
And we don't know his weight beforehand.
It's true. I'm going to say 75 days.
Oh, we're getting into two and a quarter months there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's longer than I was going to say.
I'm just going to go for a straight month and a half.
Damn it. That's what I was going to say. I'm going to go with 2 months.
Sean is very close. It was 74 days.
Oh, but I went over.
Yeah. So you lose.
Oh.
Okay. So true or false? He survived this.
False.
Well, it wouldn't count if he died. Because, you know,
what do you mean it wouldn't count?
Because then the first person that ever died is on the world's longest hunger strike right now. So I'm going to say true.
Still not eating.
Okay, this is going to sound like bull, but it's false. He died.
Yeah.
Oh, so he went 74 days and then he died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can go that long fasting, and then there's complications afterwards.
Well, then I bet then there's some third world kids that have done this, too.
Yeah, I know,
well,
exactly.
Should have gone on record.
Somebody call Guinness.
The largest recorded meal in history was eaten by a 23-year-old woman. It weighed blank total pounds.
25 pounds.
25? I'm going to say 40 pounds.
50 pounds.
You guys are all really...
bad at this.
Ambitious here. Except for Sean was the closest. It weighed 16 total pounds. Okay, so the meal consisted of 1 pound of liver, 2 pounds of kidneys, 8 ounce steak, 2 eggs, 1 pound of cheese, 2 large slices of bread, 1 pound of mushrooms, 2 pounds of carrots, 1 cauliflower, 10 peaches, 4 pears, 2 apples, 4 bananas, 2 pounds of plumbs, 2 pounds of grapes, 2 glasses of milk, reaching 16 total pounds.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
Considering like all the stuff that was on there, 2 slices of bread is not all that extravagant.
Well, at the start when it was like, you know, kidney, liver, steak, it was like, she's just trying to eat a cow.
Oh, yeah, she was just eating an organism.
Yeah,
in between 2 loaves of bread.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the 2 loaves of bread just means she made like a Dagwood sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so true or false? She survived this.
True.
True.
False.
You are correct. It is false. She,
she
died.
Yes. Oh no.
She died following bastards.
She died following attempts to have the undigested food surgically removed.
Oh, can you imagine like cutting into her for the autopsy? It'd be like a beached whale, just go,
and a whole cornucopia comes out.
Couldn't she have just vomited? I mean,
I don't know.
Is that what you said about the first guy in Seven?
He could have. Well, that guy had a gun to his head.
Guns mean you can't throw up.
Well, no, if he threw up, the guy would have been like, eat it.
No. Gross. Don't make me think about that again.
According to economists who crunch food consumption data collected by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the average American consumes blank pounds of food in a year.
Let's see. I'm going to guess I might eat 4 pounds of food a day. So upwards of, let's say, 1,400 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1,800 pounds.
Adam's doing the math.
What'd you say, Andy?
1,400.
Yeah, I mean, you're better doing that math in your head than I am, apparently, because that's pretty close. I'm going to say 1,500.
Sean is the closest again.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was 1,996 pounds of food.
Huh. Yeah, I did 5 pounds per day for my number, so.
Yeah.
All this math.
Congratulations, you all made it through the quiz section.
But hold on, that's a ton. That's 2,000 pounds. I just want to stop and appreciate that for a second. 1 ton of food a year. So I'm 33. So that means I've eaten almost 70 tons of food in my life. Well, probably not when I was a baby.
You weren't eating a ton of food when you were a baby.
Yeah, yeah, true. But Jesus, that's a lot of food.
You've eaten at least 4 sedans.
Now, Sean, do you feel like you eat more or less than the average American a year, though?
Oh, I definitely eat less because, I mean, the average American is overweight, and I like to pretend that I'm not, so.
You're definitely not, Sean.
You fat. Fatty, fat.
I have to go throw up.
Okay, so today, first we are going to talk about pica. So there is a famous person with pica named Mikel Lotito.
I've never heard of him.
Was born in 1950 and died in 2007.
Oh, wow.
He was a French entertainer. That's right. He came to be known as Monsieur Magentout, Mr. Eat-All.
Hmm.
Really loses something in translation.
See, I have heard of him.
His performances included the consumption of metal, glass, rubber. He disassembled, cut up, and consumed bicycles, shopping carts, televisions, and a Cessna 150 aircraft.
Yep.
About pica and these people that like eat like glass and plates and stuff just for the show of it, but like, what does that do to their poop?
Yeah, seriously.
You never hear about the aftermath.
Well, if you eat glass, it turns into a kaleidoscope.
It's like beautiful stained glass coming out back here.
Stare into my cornhole and turn me around and you'll see the world.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I can tell that I'm getting older is like, beyond trying to eat healthy and watch what I eat, now my bowel movements are a major consideration when I sit down to eat a meal. It's like, is this worth the trauma it's going to cause me in a day? So,
well, this guy had superhuman powers because his stomach and intestines were much thicker in lining than the average person. So he was able to do this.
So he was a superhero.
I would not
recommend. Guts.
He's Matter Eater lad.
No, I remember he was Mr. Eats a Bunch or something.
Mr.
Swallow's stuff.
So, it took him nearly 2 years to eat the airplane.
I imagine public interest probably ebbed a bit.
It kept flying away.
chasing it down the runway with a fork and a knife.
Every time it comes back, he takes a little piece of it.
God damn it. Took another bite out of our airplane.
While performing, he ingested approximately 2.2 pounds of material daily, preceding it with mineral oil and drinking lots of water during it. So
important to stay hydrated when you're eating a plane.
I need poop out a model kit.
Bananas and hard-boiled eggs actually would make him sick.
Weird.
And between 1959 and 97, he had eaten nearly 9 tons of metal. I'll throw some greater or less than at you, a little bit about what he ate. Did he eat more or less than 10 bicycles?
More. I think he ate more than 10 bicycles.
He ate 18 bicycles.
18.
Yeah.
Here, I haven't eaten one.
Take that, feminism.
Well, you're a little...
Did he eat more or less than 10 shopping carts?
Less. Please be less.
I'm going to say less because shopping carts are more pokey.
Yeah, and there's people's hands spin all over them.
You are wrong.
Oh.
He ate 15 shopping carts.
Just did for breakfast.
That's right. Did he eat more or less than 10 televisions?
Less?
More. I think it's all more.
I'm going to go less, except those tubes, they pop in your mouth. It's like a gusher for electricity.
Yeah, but with a vacuum tube, there's nothing inside, so you can really fit a bunch of them in there.
I suppose, yeah. It's like a nice wheat thin.
Well done. It is less. He ate 7 televisions.
Finally.
You tricked me.
Televisions cost more than bicycles.
Yeah, but it's more of a spectacle.
He also ate 6 chandeliers, 2 beds, a pair of skis. He also ate a waterbed and a coffin.
Was there anyone in it?
Yeah, I hope not.
Well, no one's in that coffin anymore.
Well, it's like when you eat a Three Musketeers and you peel the chocolate off and leave the gooey in the center there.
The next two people I'm going to talk about suffer from polyphagia. And the first one is Charles Domery. And he was around in the early 1800s. He was born in 1788.
And fathered the theory of evolution.
So this guy was kind of interesting because he didn't look like he ate a lot. He was described as 6'3" high, of a pale complexion, gray eyes, long brown hair, well made, but thin. His countenance rather pleasant. He was in good health, had a normal pulse and temperature, although they said he was weaker than usual. And I kind of think about that for a second. He was 6'3" tall in 1800. So that was a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was obviously some sort of extraterrestrial, if that's how he describes himself. I have a normal pulse and temperature.
I have a wonderful countenance.
Yeah. He had no signs of mental illness, illiterate, but considered normal intelligence by doctors and crewmates. Okay. So he joined the French army after abandoning the Prussian army during the War of the First Coalition because he thought they had insufficient rations. The French obviously had better food than the Prussian army. So
and now the French, they know how to ration.
They tried to put him on more rations, but they found the French just had more and better food.
Cordon bleu again.
And when he surrendered to the French, the commander rewarded him with a large melon, which he ate all of, including the rind.
That seems like a weird exchange. It's just like, I surrender. Here, have a melon. Thank you.
It's a traditional French surrendering gift.
They must have had some sort of conversation. It's like, hey, guess what? I can eat a lot, and that's the reason why I came over here. Can you give me like crazy amounts of food or something? I don't know.
We grew this melon, but it's not ripe. Oh, you're eating it.
We were kind of saying, oh, it's gone.
That was for the captain's birthday, but I guess you can, you're a good surrenderer.
How are you guys with your French pronunciation?
Bonjour.
Okay.
Okay, well, I don't know how this is pronounced, but he served on a frigate called Hoche. H-O-C-H-E.
Hoche sounds right.
Okay. Hoche.
Hoche. There he ate anything available, including cats and up to 5 pounds of grass a day.
Why are cats available?
God damn it, quit eating our cats.
There is a great story about during a battle, there was a man standing near him who gets his leg blown off by a cannonball. Okay. And he sees the leg and starts trying to eat it.
We're going to find this guy in a barn with a cat's tail sticking out of his mouth going, God damn it, party, I'm so hungry.
Leather reference.
Other sailors on the ship wrestled the leg away from him and threw it overboard.
You can't have it.
This is for the fish.
one of the shipmates described him as most extraordinary raw flesh eater, preferring raw meat to cooked.
Described him as super creepy.
One newspaper article noted that live cats, dogs, and rats equally suffered from his merciless jaws. And if much pinched by famine, the entrails of animals indiscriminately became his prey.
Maybe it was like an old lady that swallowed the fly scenario.
Picard, one of his shipmates, a shipmate of Domery, commented that if bread or meat were scarce, he made up the deficiency by eating, again, 4 or 5 pounds of grass daily, and in 1 year devoured, guess how many cats?
Oh,
no,
man.
I don't want to, because that's
any number is bad.
He devoured 14 cats.
Say a cat a week. I'm going to say 56.
174 cats.
Jesus Christ.
But not their skins, and they would be dead or alive.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
There's another testimony from his shipmate Picard about eating the cats. He had several severe conflicts of interest in the act of destroying them by feeling the effects of their torments on his face and hands. Sometimes he killed them before eating, but when very hungry, he did not wait to perform this humane office.
Man, how hungry do you have to be to like not take 5 seconds to kill a cat?
He's got cat scratch fever.
Okay, so his ship was captured on September 17th in 1799.
He ate his way to freedom.
He chewed a hole through the cell.
He was given 10 times normal rations by the British, but the French actually paid for the prisoners' rations. And when they found out this wasn't enough to satisfy him, he was handed to doctors for experimentation.
Get this guy out of here.
And he said, now stick out your mouth and say, ah, and he put the tongue depressor and he's like, ate
another one of our thermometers.
Where are the guards?
while he was in prison, he ate the prison cat and at least 20 rats and would often eat prison candles.
I mean, at least he eats the cats, but then at least he, you know, takes up their job.
Picks up the slack.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also ate the medicines of the prisoners in the camp who refused to take them, suffering no apparent adverse effects.
He's so healthy now, he can't be stopped.
What is that, a pill? I'll take it.
So while he was being experimented on, there's a famous experiment on the 17th of September, 1799, in the presence of Dr. J. Johnston, amongst others. This is the log of the experiment, a little bit. At 4 o'clock in the morning, Domery dined on 4 pounds of raw cow's udder at half just past 9 o'clock. There were set before him 5 pounds of raw beef and 12 tallow candles of 1 pound weight.
He started with the candles.
Appetizer.
Just a light meal.
Why they would think to add that, but together with one bottle of porter, these he finished by half past 10 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, there were put before him 5 more pounds of beef, 1 pound of candles, and 3 bottles of porter. He was then locked up in the room, and sentries were placed at the windows to prevent his throwing away of any of his provisions.
They said, you can't come out until I'm done.
At 2 o'clock, he had nearly finished the whole of the candles and a great part of the beef. At 6:15, he had devoured the whole and declared he could have eaten more.
Jeez.
Sir, you can't come out of there until you finish your candles.
So this is kind of weird, because I mentioned earlier that the largest recorded meal was 16 pounds. And they said he ate 16 pounds of food here and drank 5 bottles of porter in that sitting. But that was, I guess, throughout the day. I don't know if the lady beforehand just had that.
Well, that was a British pound.
Yeah. He was so happy that he was like smoking pipe and dancing into his cell after the meal, because he was satisfied. So the description of him doing this says, he resembled the voracity of a hungry wolf. He would tear off large pieces with his mouth, roll them about his mouth, and then gulp them down.
Sounds like eating to me.
Yeah, sure does.
Unhinge his jaw.
But tearing large pieces?
I take pretty big bites.
Yeah.
That's why Sean has choked 15 times.
Despite eating the vast amount of food, it was noted by the doctors studying him that he never vomited they said he didn't either while during that experiment, other than when fed large amounts of roasted or boiled meat.
Crazy.
So he only vomits when he eats cooked meat, and he doesn't poop a whole candle afterwards?
He showed no outward signs of ill health, and doctors observing him noted that his eyes were lively and his tongue clean.
It's because he already loaded up on medicine.
And his pulse was regular at 84 beats per minute, and his body temperature was normal.
I am normal.
Hello, I am. Give me some more of that human food.
I enjoy all the human foods, like cat and candle.
Anything that starts with C, really. Can you get me some more cow?
Here's an interesting thing about him. He supposedly disliked most vegetables, like you and me.
Yay.
Ew, carrots, gross.
The only vegetables he would eat, which he devoured in great quantities, were raw potatoes and turnips.
Blech.
His favorite food was raw bullock's liver. So people think because there's not a whole lot of other cases of someone having this extreme of polyphagia, that he had brain damage, a damaged amygdala or ventromedial nucleus.
He had hydrochloric acid in his stomach.
And here's a little interesting side note. This standard daily ration for a French prisoner of war was 26 ounces of bread, half pound of vegetables, and 2 ounces of cheese. So he ate 10 times that amount while he was a French prisoner.
I got 20 ounces of cheese.
So that's the end of that. No one really knows what happened to him. There's an account that the...
they locked him in a room and he ate himself.
Well, the French prisoners that were in prison with him gave him a hard time because he was Prussian and they didn't think he was a real, you know, revolutionary patriot. And he was said to have killed himself, but that no one's really sure whether that's true. And next is my favorite person.
Ever.
With this.
I hope it's your wife.
My wife can eat 2 or 3 cats in an hour.
This guy is named Tarare. He was born in 1772, Lyon, France. Let's talk about this guy's appearance. So Charles Darmery was normal. This guy was not. His appearance, detailed in the London and Medical Physical Journal in 1819, described him as constantly covered in sweat, and from his body a vapor arose, sensible to the sight and more so the smell.
You could see it coming off of him?
Yeah, he had cartoon stink lines.
Yeah. I guess the smell was so bad that it could not be endured within the distance of 20 paces.
Oof.
Yeah, this alien had a harder time with the "I am normal human"
lines. Just excreting pure waste.
And his smell would also get worse after he'd eaten. He was of average height but thin frame, wispy blonde hair, a large mouth with slender lips and discolored teeth.
Sounds very unpleasant.
Oh, get this. His skin hung loosely around his sides. He was sometimes like capable of wrapping the skin from his abdomen around his waist.
What?
No! He would...
Yeah. No, says Andy.
He's a flying squirrel. Yeah.
He would burp and fart a lot and would have particularly odorous bowel movements. One of the other things that's kind of interesting is that he could fit 12 eggs in his mouth.
What?
Yeah, he would perform this. So
scrambled?
They say that when he was 17, he could consume 1/4 of a cow's worth of beef a day.
He sounds like something from a Junji Ito comic.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I kind of read that and I was like, oh, come on. Because he basically got kicked out of his house because of his appetite and they couldn't afford to feed him anymore. So he was thrown out to the streets and lived about the charlatans and the prostitutes until he got a job at a freak show.
He could fit 12 prostitutes into his mouth.
At the freak show, he would literally eat anything the attendees would give him, including a basket of apples, dozens of eggs, wine corks, flints, rocks, and live animals.
I was going to say, right up until that point, they were just giving him food. Like, here, have some eggs.
And
I'll eat whatever you give me. Ooh, steak.
Yeah, let's give him some good food for once. Like Charles Darmery, he joined the military. He never fought. But he would help soldiers with their daily tasks and return get extra rations. His insatiable appetite put him in the military hospital. There he ate 4 times rations, so it's less than the other guy. But he also ate
12 dozen eggs every day to help him get strong.
But he also ate gauze, live cats, dogs, snakes, and eels. And the eels, they said he could eat without chewing.
Where are all these snakes and eels coming from?
Yeah.
I know, right?
They're in France,
so you know, they're like real culinary, you know, they probably have everything that you'd want.
Someone has gotten into the eel tank again.
One surgeon tested him by having him swallow a small wooden box with a sheet of paper in it. But when he pooped out the box unharmed, he was given the task of sending secret messages across enemy lines.
I have heard of this guy.
So his first mission was a success, and he was awarded. He's rewarded with 30 pounds of bull organs, which he ate in front of other commanders.
Why?
Hey guys, want to watch this guy eat 30 pounds of bull organs?
So he was then given the task of sending a secret message to French prisoners in Prussia. He posed as a peasant, but did not know German, so he was outed as an imposter pretty early.
Quickly.
He was tortured and beaten and forced to confess, but was given a false dummy message, or basically just a message that didn't have anything important. It was just saying, like, if anything's going on, report back to us, to the French soldiers. So they were really angry about this.
And, actually, poop to get this?
Yeah, they staged a false execution for him. So they basically got him up to the guillotine and were like ready to kill him. But then they're like, okay, get out of here. And so
you learned your lesson.
So yeah, so he went back to France where doctors attempted to treat him with tobacco and opioids. You know what else though? You know, he might have been suspicious too, just because he could be smelled from like forever away and he was weird looking.
It sounds to me like they just wanted to get rid of him. Like, yeah, okay, he can't speak German. Send him across the lines.
I feel like they just send him out to waste the Germans' time.
He crosses the enemy lines. They're like, Guten Tag. He goes, bonjour. Fuck.
He had some pretty interesting times at the hospital where he was experimented by Dr. Corville and the head of surgery, Baron Percy. They fed him live animals and massive meals, monitoring his digestive process and how he reacted to various food. A live cat, live eels, snakes, puppies, plates of grease, 4 gallons of milk, and more were offered to him by the doctors. And he gobbled them up without satiating his hunger. So there's an account from the Anomalies and Curiosities of Medicine by George M. Gold and Walter Lytle Pyle. Percy saw the famous Terrare, who died at Versailles at about 26 years of age. At 17, he weighed 100 pounds. He ate a quarter of beef in 24 hours. He was fond of the most revolting things. He particularly relished the flesh of serpents and would quickly devour the largest. In the presence of Lorenz, he seized Eli's cat with his teeth and eventuated it, sucked its blood, and ate it, leaving the bare skeleton only.
He's a ghoul.
Yeah. In about 30 minutes, he rejected the hairs in the manner of birds and of prey and carnivorous animals. So he basically just barfed up all the hair.
Oh, look, a man pellet.
He ate almost instantly a dinner that had been prepared for 15 vigorous workmen and drank the accompanying water and took their aggregate allowance of salt at the same time.
This God is when, damn it, Terrare.
We left the door open.
Have you guys seen my candle? God damn it.
It'll be cool on the windowsill.
We'll wait till you see what goes missing later. After this meal, his abdomen was so swollen that it resembled a balloon. Nothing seemed to diminish his appetite. He waited around butcher shops to eat what was discarded for the dogs. He drank the bleedings of the hospital and ate the dead from the dead houses.
Oh, God. That's a problem.
A ghoul.
Yeah, that would explain a lot.
He was suspected of eating a child of 14 months, but no proof could be produced of this. He was of
we
middle...
We ate it all.
That's yeah, a perfect crime. That's...
Wow, yeah.
Prove there was a baby here.
Prove there was a succulent child here.
He was of middle height and was always heated and sweating. He died of a purulent diarrhea, all his intestines and peritoneum being in a suppurating condition.
Ew.
He's just a gross caricature.
So when that 14-month child went missing in the hospital in 1794, he was suspected of eating it and was chased out of the hospital, though he was not formally charged with the murder.
That seems like a fair assumption, though.
Terrare. Uh-oh.
It's like a Yogi Bear cartoon where he's like, Terrare! And then just goes chasing after him with a broom because he skedaddles into the woods.
Picnic baskets and anything else?
Making that bongo running noise.
Tuberculosis was actually what did him in. Autopsy showed his stomach covered in ulcers, took up most of his gut aside from his massive fatty liver. Oof. He decayed faster than normal and his organs covered in pus smelled so bad, the chief surgeon, M. Tessier, called off the operation early. And modern doctors believe he may have had a damaged amygdala.
As a ghoul, he began rotting immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's him. He was my favorite.
He's the all-star of the weird eating crew.
You're an all-star. Eat the cat there.
Does anybody have personal stories relating to appetite. You think that I have any adventurous eating stories?
Well, I remember once you ate a salad.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, oh, God. No, that's actually a pretty good story. I tend to avoid weird foods in general. I find adventure in other places in my life. But I really don't like vegetables. I can eat, like, you know, tomato sauce or sometimes if they're in, like, a stew or in a pot pie or something like that. But I get a lot of crap about this at work all the time. And one guy decided, Rick, I want to see you eat something healthy. So I'm going to put a challenge up to you. I'll give you $50 if you can eat a large bowl of salad in less than 30 minutes. And the rules of the salad were it couldn't be anything weird. It had to be something that other people would want to eat or something like that, you know, in the lunchroom. It took me 4 tries. I could not do it. I thought the first time I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can do this. It's just something like a stupid mental roadblock in my head. But immediately when I took my first bite of the salad, I had a vomiting reflex. Like, it was so hard.
And I'd like to point out that, you know, this guy wasn't in this for the entertainment. He legitimately wanted Rick to eat healthy food. So, like, he crafted these salads. Like, it wasn't
love and care.
A bunch of garbage. Yeah, they were really good salads. Like, I would watch him and I'm like, man, that looks delicious. I would eat that in a heartbeat. And each time of the 4 tries, the salad got progressively smaller and progressively less like salad. Like, I think the last one, it was like mostly rice at that point.
It was Jell-O party salad at the end.
And it all tastes like a lawnmower.
Doesn't it? It's like almost, it's water.
Water that's been run through my lawnmower?
Sure.
The third one was the most frustrating, though, because I actually ate all the vegetables in the salad. And I think there was just like the extra bits left. I don't remember what it was, but it was stuff I could totally eat. But I just had ran out of time. I was so pissed.
Croutons.
Oh, I got one. What is the strangest thing that you like to eat that other people just think is really weird?
Grilled peanut butter and cheese.
Does sound weird.
Peanut butter and cheese.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I love the taste of Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, like, God. So does Angela.
It is one of,
it's so good.
It's one of my, oh, it's so good. I wait every year for Valentine's Day to come around because those tiny hearts are the closest thing you can get to just eating Pepto-Bismol all day
for
long.
For a second, I thought Sean was taking Kelly someplace that he just couldn't digest.
I thought that's no, just when Kelly gave him a Valentine's Day Pepto-Bismol.
It's all for you, Sean. And then his stools come out just tar.
Ugh.
Yeah. But that is one of my favorite flavors.
So let's find out how much our morals are worth. How much would somebody have to pay you to eat a human lung of a smoker?
Oh God. It's not going to taste good.
That's going to be a lot of money.
Oh. Are they alive?
Yeah, I mean, it's from like a cadaver or something, you know, and it's plated out to you.
Is it cooked?
No, it's raw.
Raw.
It's raw.
This tastes like an ashtray and regret.
Yeah, I really hate the smell of cigarettes. I can only imagine that they taste 10 times
and I can't
worse.
Imagine lungs are super
like. It's
like
kissing
appetizing.
A casino.
But that being said, you know, I'll probably be fine. I'm not going to get lung cancer, you know, from eating a lung.
Stomach cancer, just, maybe.
Nah, I doubt it. I think it'll just slide down smooth and come out the other end.
And if we're talking about tarry stools.
Yeah.
Like one lung or both lungs?
Just one.
One, and it's the entire lung.
Can
entire
I have ketchup?
Yeah, what sort of condiments are available?
No, that's cheating, no.
Just straight up, $300,000.
$300,000.
Wow. That's quite a gap. Yep, $5,000. I do it for $5,000.
I was going to say $10,000.
No, I'm imagining that taste and the texture, and it's
it sounds awful.
Like, a lot of times I can't eat things because the texture is weird.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think I'd be able to finish that.
Yeah, the first bite is going to be bad, but once I know what I'm in for, I'm certain I could get through the rest.
Do I at least get like a glass of water or something?
Well, let's just say if you throw up, you can come back and keep eating.
This wasn't like a heavily smoking child with very small lungs.
No.
What about you, Rick?
$70,000.
70. Okay. Live for a year for eating one lung.
Yeah.
So give me my $300,000 and show up with the lung.
Money, please.
Thank you, folks, for tuning into the show. We'll see you next week.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today.
If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
I will go crazy and say 16 days. Let's double Sean's record.
4 hours.
Oh, God, I'm so thirsty.
Yep, that's everybody.
No, oh, really? Wait, yeah. I only heard two answers.
I said 2 weeks before anyone else.
I wish that actual game shows ran like Rick, where everyone answers and then the host just stares off into space.
Anything else?
So we've got 2 weeks.
Alec, I answered. Please tell me if I got it right.
True.
How's it true?
That's it.
They sound too similar to each other. It's really hard for me to. Okay, anyway.
Okay, well, then just picture when Andy answers twice. Just go ahead.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.